Emotions can cause a lot of trouble if you allow them to get anywhere near your money. Hi, I'm Rob West. The two emotions that will cause you the most trouble are fear and greed. Scam artists know this, and they use it to separate you from your hard-earned cash. I'll talk about how you can prevent that today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. People are spending a lot of time and money online these days, so that's where scammers are focusing their latest efforts. We've talked about phishing many times before. That's, of course, phishing with a PH, but it bears repeating because it continues to be highly successful for thieves. A phishing email is the most common way cyber crooks try to fool you into giving up your personal financial information or getting you to click a malicious link. A phishing email will indicate that you owe money or that you're due money. The first capitalizes on fear, the other, greed. You can often spot a phishing attempt by scanning the message for poor grammar and misspelled words. If you see any, hit the delete button. Next in the scammer's bag of tricks is fake antivirus software. Let's say you're looking at a website and you get a message saying that your computer is infected. The scammer offers free software to clean your computer, but by downloading it, you'll actually infect your system with a virus or malware. Leave that page immediately and use only software from reputable anti-malware companies like Norton, McAfee, or Intego. Or you might get a phone call from a scammer posing as tech support from your actual anti-malware provider saying your computer is infected. They'll ask you to download an app that allows them to take control of your computer remotely so they can, quote-unquote, fix the problem for you. If you allow it, the crook gets access to any personal financial information on your computer, like your Social Security number or credit card numbers. Within hours, you'll probably become another victim of identity theft. If you get a call like that, hang up. Reputable anti-malware companies won't cold call to tell you your device is infected. Norton, for example, says they'll only call you if you first contact them about a problem, and their tech support is free to subscribers. And that's another clue that you're being scammed when tech support wants to charge a large sum of money to fix a problem, sometimes more than the device is worth. Also beware of ads on Google offering service for exorbitant sums, because even scammers can advertise there. If you have a problem, contact the manufacturer or a reputable anti-malware provider directly. Don't click a Google ad for tech support. Now, that covers scams using fear. Let's turn to greed and scams promising ways to make fast and easy money, usually from home. You'll often see these in your browser search results. They'll take you to fake websites that offer quick money for doing almost nothing. They're really trying to get you to turn over your personal information by filling out some type of online form. Never give out financial details in response to a search result, email, or ad. Another way the fast and easy money scammers can get you is by requiring you to pay for something up front, like purchasing training materials for a bogus job they're offering. Once the crooks get your money, you'll never hear from them again. You're more likely to find Bigfoot in your backyard than a job that pays well but requires no skills or training and few work hours. If jobs like that really existed, they wouldn't need to be advertised. Everybody and their uncle would already be doing them. Okay, time for just one more online scam, and that would be fake shopping sites. The internet is loaded with them, and they usually have one thing in common. They'll offer you great deals on your favorite brands at ridiculously low prices, sometimes 75% off or more. If you fall for one of these fake deals, the scammers will then have your credit or debit card information and can then use it themselves or sell it on the dark web. You can usually spot them by taking a careful look at the URL or web address. It will look very similar to the real online merchant, but will always have a slight variation, like an extra letter, so be on the lookout for that. Well, those are the latest online scams, and now you know how to avoid them so you can be gentle as doves but wise as serpents. This is also a great time for me to remind you to regularly pull a copy of your credit report to look for inaccurate or fraudulent information. You'll find it at annualcreditreport.com at no cost. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Redeem the time, words from the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4, a call to walk wisely in this world, not unwisely, but where is wisdom to be found in a world so intent on undermining the Lord's purposes? Just one verse back, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. If you want to redeem your time and walk wisely in this world, you can't be a zombie. Your eyes must be open to His love. Christ's light must be shining in your heart. Only then can we walk with the eyes of faith, as salt and light. And as we walk, we have hope. One day soon, this faith will turn into sight. Spend more time with Jesus with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White.
Hannah took her pain to God, and God heard her and was with her.
Hannah's Heart helps couples process infertility and miscarriage through a biblical lens. Join us Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. Find the podcast at afr.net.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's time to turn the corner and take your questions today. What are you thinking about, financially speaking? Give us a call. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Our team is standing by with whatever you're thinking about today financially. We'd love to chat about it with you, see if we can help you apply biblical wisdom and practical counsel to the decisions and choices you're making. And perhaps your question will be a part of our program today. So give us a call, 800-525-7000, and we'd love to get you on quickly. By the way, here in the new year, it's a great time to recommit to your spending plan. That's right. This is a good time for you to establish your budget, maybe update it in the new year, and undoubtedly things have changed as we deal with four-decade high inflation. Despite the fact that it's coming down, we're still paying quite a bit more than we had or were a year ago on so many things. And Perhaps it's time to take another look at that spending plan so we can rein in spending, balance the budget, have some margin, and accomplish our longer-term goals and objectives. Margin is the key to doing that. That's just simply something left over at the end of the month after we cover all of our expenses, both fixed and discretionary. We do our giving, we save for the future, but hopefully we have something left over to pay down debt or build that emergency fund or increase our giving, whatever it might be. Well, your spending plan is right at the core of all of that. And so if you'd like to get started with a spending plan this year and you'd like to do that in a digital way, well, perhaps the FaithFi app will be just what you're looking for. You'll find it on our brand new website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click the app button. You'll get not only the best money management system out there, in my view, using the digital envelope system, but also you'll be able to access our community with like-minded believers posting questions, getting counsel and answers and advice every day on their questions, as well as leading biblical financial resources. It's all right there in the FaithFi app, and you can get it in your app store, or again, head to faithfi.com and click app. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's begin today with a couple of emails. We receive emails all the time from listeners at askrob@faithfi.com. And Liz wrote to us recently with a great question. And boy, this is one that so many families are dealing with right now. And she just simply says, my husband and I would like to find a small starter home. That used to be what couples did, but that's just a dream these days because houses are so expensive. Do we just rent forever? We both work and need to live where there are good jobs. Am I missing something? And Liz, I would say you're not missing anything. Unfortunately, houses are very expensive these days. Although some home values have begun to ease in many parts of the country, nationally, we're expecting to see housing prices pull back by 5 to 6% this year. And so we will see hopefully a cooling in the housing market that will continue. You know, this was driven not by a bubble. This was driven by partly the fact that we just don't have enough homes in this country to meet the demand. We're somewhere around 2 to 3 million homes short of the need, simply because the millennials are reaching age 30 and buying single-family homes as they have kids. Many folks, as we're working remotely more often now, are moving out of the densely populated urban areas to suburban areas looking for single family homes. So that plus the pandemic has really resulted in somewhat of a housing shortage. Now, what's going on right now is the fact that interest rates have risen so dramatically, although they're ticking down now under 6%. That combined with the fact that, you know, we have folks that are having a harder time just paying for their expenses each month, and the fact that home prices have risen so dramatically, all of that has caused this raging seller's market to really become a buyer's market just in the last 90 days or so. And so you'll find you have a better opportunity now, Liz, but I think that will continue to improve. So here's the key. Don't lose heart. Number one, stay the course in terms of preparing for your purchase readiness. So when the right time comes and you can find that starter home, which perhaps you need to dial back your wish list ever so slightly given what's gone on with the increase in housing prices. But if you're ready, once you find that home in the area that you need to live, as you said, to be able to find the right work for you and your husband, I want you to be ready to put 20% down. And that means you may have to rent longer than you expected so you can continue to save. And I also want you, if at all possible, to try to keep that mortgage payment, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance under 25% of your pay. That's going to ensure you have plenty left over for everything else. And if you do that, maintain a good credit rating, save the 20% for the down payment, get pre-approved for the mortgage before you begin looking. Don't automatically accept the max loan amount offered by the lender, but really focus on that monthly payment being 25% or less of your take-home pay, then you're going to be ready. And let's just make this a matter of prayer. And when God provides, you'll be ready to step out and make that purchase. It will come. Don't lose heart. And I think over this next year, you'll find that things improve in your direction, perhaps allowing you to make that purchase and get started. So thanks for writing to us, Liz. Ask Rob at faithfi.com. If you have a question, Let's take one more. And by the way, we do have lines open, and we'll be taking your questions here on the broadcast in just a moment on anything financial, whether that's your investing plan, paying down debt, maybe it's buying a home, securing a mortgage, or where we started today. Maybe you've been the victim of identity theft, or you're just wondering, how do I protect myself as I do business online? Whatever you're thinking about today, we'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, that's 800-525-7000. The next email, this is a great one too. May wrote to us and she says, I have a great job as a nurse. As you have said previously, Rob, the more you make, the more you spend. And boy, that's true. I've seen that play out so many times. May goes on to say, for us, that means a mortgage, credit card bills, school loans, and a personal loan. Should we consolidate into one monthly payment? That would lower our overall payments. What do you think? And I would just say, May, I can totally appreciate this lifestyle creep, as I call it, that tends to happen as our income rises, our level of spending will rise with it unless we protest to the contrary. So guard against that. The key there is establishing enough. That is a financial finish line for your lifestyle. Build a budget around it. And as your income increases, let's try to convert that to margin or excess on a monthly basis that we can use to fund our goals, namely, in your case, this debt. Now, I wouldn't consolidate. Consolidation loans are dangerous because even though it takes the pressure off, might get the interest rate and the payment down, often it leads to more debt because you don't solve the underlying problem, and that is overspending. So get on a budget, have that margin, use that money to pay down your debt, and I would snowball it right where it is, starting with the credit card. So assuming you're carrying a balance, not just charging budget expenses and paying it off in full every month, if you're carrying a balance, let's start there. And if you have multiple cards, let's take every dollar of margin. Once you have, let's say, $1,500 in your emergency fund, just something to fall back on so we can break the cycle of charging. But once that's there, then let's take every dollar of margin excess at the end of the month, and let's use that to start with the credit card with the smallest balance, pay that one off, and then move right down the line. After you pay off those credit cards and you're only using them for budgeted items, then at that point, let's move to the personal loan, then the school loan, and then the mortgage. So that would be the order that I would focus. I realize that's going to take a little longer, but the exercise of doing that and establishing that rhythm will help you over the long term to create a pattern of wise financial management. Thanks for writing to us. Michael, we're coming your way right after this break. Stay with us.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute. No way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches. And we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. This is where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. What are you thinking about today, financially speaking? We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. Let's begin today in Louisiana. Michael, thank you for calling, sir. Go right ahead.
Hey, this is Michael. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for your call.
Good. Hey, my wife received a bonus last year from her employer, and she had the option of either them investing it in an annuity associated with the company or taking the cash out. What would be the best situation or the best thing to do in a situation like that?
Sure. What is the lump sum that she would receive? Do you know?
It's about $4,000.
Okay, about $4,000, or they would deposit that into the annuity for her?
Yes, or she can just cash it out.
Yeah, very good. And are you all saving for retirement through a company-sponsored plan, either her or you or both of you?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, so this is just a straight bonus. And tell me about your financial goals at this point. Are you guys working toward building an emergency fund? Do you have any debt you're working to try to pay off? Anything else kind of in the short term you guys are saving or targeting?
Yeah, we are. We already have an emergency fund, and we are, that leads me to another question, because we are thinking about maybe investing in the stock market. Or my second question would have been, I know you mentioned about the online savings, high yielding savings accounts. Would it be better to do that until, you know, the market kind of evens out, or just go on and invest in the market?
Yeah. And are you talking about specifically with this $4,000 if you were to take it, or with other funds?
Yeah, with other funds, because we do have maybe 75 just in sitting in savings.
About 75,000.
Right.
Okay. And what percent of your income is going into company sponsored retirement plans? Do you know? Between the two of you?
I never even did the numbers.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I would start there. So let's think of this in terms of buckets, okay? So we have different buckets of money for different purposes, and the key here is the time horizon on each of these buckets, and that's going to dictate how we go about investing it. And I'll answer the question about the bonus as a part of this. So bucket number one is that emergency fund. We want 3 to 6 months worth of expenses there. Is that a part of the $75,000?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so what do you all spend roughly on a monthly basis? Do you know?
I think $4,000. My wife.
No, okay. Yeah. So let's say you were to put $25,000 in emergency savings, and let's move that to an online savings account. You're going to get about 3.5%. You can link it to your checking account. You can move money back and forth if you need to within a couple of days at no cost. There's no maintenance fees. I'd probably use Ally Bank or Marcus or Capital One 360, but really not a need unless you just for some reason want to have more than that, not a need to have more than $25,000 in that. So that would then give you $50,000 plus the $4,000, which I would go ahead and take. I don't think it's worth having an annuity with $4,000 in it, the complexity and the costs and so forth. I'd rather you have that cash and use it, you know, to fund your longer term goals. So let's say we've got now $54,000 and we're saying, where do we put that? The next question before we decide to invest it for the long term is, do you have any kind of shorter term, less than 5 years goals that you're trying to accomplish? Are you saving for a car replacement with cash? You know, do you have any consumer debt you're looking to pay off, student loans or anything like that? Do you have, you know, kids going to college? I mean, is there anything you need to be looking at that's less than 5 years?
Yes, definitely. All our cars are working and everything, but we do want to.
I'm losing you there just a bit, Michael. I've tried to move one way or the other and see if we can get you back. All right, it looks like we've lost you, unfortunately. So let me just kind of tie a bow on this. Here's the way I would approach this. So I'd move that $25,000 to that online savings account. That becomes your emergency fund. And then if you're looking to set up a car fund at the same online bank, let's set up a second account because there's no cost for this. And we're going to call this the car replacement fund. And let's say you're going to put $30,000 in there. That would be great. And then I think I'd take the balance and fund Roth IRAs if I were you. If you don't have any consumer debt you're looking to eradicate, let's fund some Roth IRAs for you guys. You know, you can put, if you're under 50, you can put in $6,500 this year. You could put in up to $13,000 between you and your wife. So that way we've got our fully funded emergency fund. We've got that car replacement fund. It's earning some interest, but it's ready. Now we don't have to borrow when one of the cars needs to be replaced. And then the balance we've got going into long-term retirement savings, and then evaluate that company-sponsored retirement plan contribution that you have going, and let's make sure that that's at 10 to 15% of your pay. If not, let's try to ratchet that up and see if you can dial back your expenses. But I think that gives you kind of all the buckets, if you will. The only other one is just to look at, should we be giving more? And, you know, perhaps consider that prayerfully as a part of this. But to answer your original question, I know we went kind of beyond that. I would not put that $4,000 in the annuity if it were me. I'd just go ahead and take the cash out and kind of roll that into the $75,000 you have and then allocate it, perhaps as I've described, or maybe tweak that according to your liking. But that at least gives you a way to think about this money in terms of the buckets related to the time horizon. Money that's less than 5 years, which would be the emergency fund in the car, we don't want to invest that because we don't want to have to sell when the market's down. Who knows what's going to happen over the next 5 years? But money that can be, you know, put away for five, preferably 10 years or more, that's where at that point we are looking to get that working for you. And let's not wait on that. I mean, taking advantage of this lower market right now where we can buy stocks at a discount. Who wants to buy at the top all the time? We love buying at a discount. For some reason, we don't typically apply that to stocks, though. We think, well, if it's on a discount, we got to wait till it gets back up and then buy. No, let's buy at a discount. And then let's take advantage of the increase as things turn around. Thanks for your call today. Alex, you're going to be up right after the break. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice.
More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
At Faith and Finance, we're on a mission to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word. We're working to meet people right where they are through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from this program, would you consider becoming a monthly Faith and Finance patron? Check out all of the benefits of a Faith and Finance patron's membership at faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
With Benjamin Netanyahu back in the saddle as Prime Minister of Israel, will this new government be marked by prophetically significant events like renewed Jewish Temple Mount worship and a treaty prophesied in Daniel chapter 9? I'm Sam Rohr, host of Stand in the Gap Weekend, heard Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. Join me and Bill Salas of Prophecy Depot as we engage the relevant theme, the peace treaty that triggers the tribulation. Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. So thankful that you're along for the broadcast today. We've got some lines open. If you have a question, 800-525-7000. Before we head back to the phones, if you're looking for an advisor here in the new year, maybe you've decided this is the year we need somebody to journey with us, some wise counsel as we manage God's money. Well, perhaps you're looking for an advisor who shares your values. We trust the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation here at Faith and Finance, and we'd love for you to interview two or three Certified Kingdom Advisors in your city and find the one that's the best fit for you. These are men and women who have met high standards in character and competence, experience, ethics, but also they've submitted pastoral and client references. They've been especially trained to bring biblically wise financial advice. They've had a regulatory review, signed a statement of faith. It's a high bar, but there's 1,300 of them around the country, and I know they'd love to serve you. You can find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area when you head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click find a CKA. All right, back to the phones we go. Alex has been waiting patiently in beautiful North Carolina. Alex, you're next up, sir. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call, sir.
Sure.
I explained to the screen and my situation is, I'll go briefly. I'm 51 years old. Recently, 4 years ago, I became a resident. So my 401k is kind of in the beginning growing.
Yes.
My situation is this. I have a savings emergency money set apart. That one is untouchable unless there is an emergency. My wife and I were looking to buy a house. Unfortunately, the prices, as you mentioned, are too high. The house that we are looking at is over $100,000 more than I have saved.
Yes.
So that money, I don't know if I should use the money I have already to go and buy the house and only finance that $100,000 or to finance the whole thing except for the 20%. So that's my struggle because I'm thinking that money that I have saved on a money market account, I could use it to invest, to increase my retirement plan or continue with the plan that I have. I only apport my 401k, my wife and I, enough money that the company matches.
I see.
Because it's free.
Yes.
And the rest, we are saving around $200 per pay cycle to a money market account, which is separate from our savings, in order to have someday enough to start investing. So I would like to know, what would you recommend me to do? Because
yeah.
It's it's a lot of money for the house, and
yes,
I'm thinking to use my savings to buy it, but I don't know if it's wise or
yes.
not.
Well, that was a helpful overview, Alex. Boy, you all are doing a lot of things right, and I appreciate your description of your situation. I've got a couple of follow-up questions. Let's talk about the house for a moment that you're looking at. What would be the purchase price, roughly?
It's $365,000.
Okay, $365,000. And what have you saved outside of your emergency fund?
What did I, excuse me, say it again?
Do you have some savings put aside for the down payment on this apart from your emergency fund?
Oh, yes. My emergency fund is separate. I'm not counting it at all.
Okay. Okay. So what situation. Counting the emergency fund, what do you have saved up for the home purchase?
$265,000.
Okay.
Yes.
So you'd have, so that's phenomenal. Congratulations on doing that. So that would be $100,000 mortgage. And let's say you could get, a 6% interest rate. You'd be looking at, 72% down payment, which is phenomenal. And your monthly payment would be, around $880 a month, something like that. Would you have the ability, to cover that in your budget? How does that compare to the rent that you're paying today?
Well, it will be roughly $250 more than I'm paying on rent right now.
Okay. It's
not a problem.
Okay. That wouldn't be a problem for you?
No, not at all. No.
Okay. Yeah, very good. So I like that approach. I think, go ahead and put down as much as you can. I mean, you've been diligently saving for this. I realize home prices are up. If you wanted to wait, over the next 6 months and see if home prices come down and interest rates come down somewhere between now and the end of the year, you could. But I would kind of say if you found the home that is the right one for you, it kind of meets what you're looking for in the right area of town, because you've been so diligent in saving and because you can absorb this monthly payment, I would say once you find the right house, I would go ahead and proceed with it. Counting on the housing market pulling back considerably more or rates coming down. I mean, you can do that, but obviously we're presuming on the future. And I think the key is be thoughtful and prayerful about the right home for you and then proceed. But I would look to use the money that you have to put down and keep that mortgage payment very manageable for your budget. In terms of the emergency savings, I love that you're saying you're not going to touch that. On the 401k, I'm thrilled to hear that you're at least maxing out the match, because as you said, that's free money. We don't want to give that up. I think the goal would be, rather than taking this $200 a month and putting it in money market to invest outside of retirement, I'd rather see you get that retirement savings inside the company sponsored plan. I'd rather you increase that, because I'd rather have it growing on a tax deferred basis rather than on a taxable basis. So I would focus on trying to get that retirement savings up as you're able to somewhere between 10 to 15% of your pay, even if that means you're no longer saving, outside of retirement to invest at some point in the future. Does all that make sense though?
Yes, I just have a question.
Sure.
I've been listening a lot of economists talking about qualified money and the risk of it, of the government someday decide that since they created, they changed the rules.
Yes.
And that's my main concern about going into the 401k.
Yeah, yeah.
Because after all, it's the government management.
Sure. No, and I get that, and I can certainly appreciate where you're coming from there. My perspective on that, Alex, and some in our listening audience may disagree, is I'm not concerned about that, and here's why. That would just be so unpopular politically, for the government to do that, that I just don't see it happening. I mean, it would just be really challenging for any kind of changes to make that would be made legislatively that would, result in, putting retirement accounts at risk. That I just think that's such a low risk, the trade-off of trying to grow your wealth outside of retirement accounts and having the impact of the taxes is not commensurate with the risk associated with the possibility that that's going to happen down the road. In my view, the risk is low enough of what you're describing that I would take the tax deferred growth. I just think that that's going to serve you much better over the long haul.
All right. Okay. Well, I really appreciate your help, and so to you and to your whole team, God bless you.
Well, thank you so much, Alex. And listen, all the best to you, my friend. It's a delight to talk to men and women who want to honor God with what he's entrusted to them. They're trying to make wise decisions. They're trying to limit their lifestyle and honor him with their giving and their saving. And you clearly have done that. You've been an encouragement to me today as well. So all the best to you, my friend. We appreciate your call. Felicia, we're coming your way right after the break, and perhaps your question. Here's the number to call, 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open, 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance. We'll be right back.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
Are you too busy to go to church? We love God, but life gets complicated. But I can help you. I'm Pastor John Miller, and we've designed an app that has church services, a Bible reading plan, and a path for spiritual growth. You can live stream or listen to a podcast of an encouraging Bible message when you're too busy to go to church. Search for Church on the Rock Texarkana at the App Store. It'll help you connect to God when life is busy. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
45,000. That's how many times Faith and Finance referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org.
chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Let's head right back to the phones. In just a moment, though, we'll be talking to our good friend Jerry Boyer, a resident economist, and he'll weigh in on the markets and the economy. But first, Felicia has been holding patiently in Oklahoma. Felicia, how can I help you?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So for the first time in my life, I actually have, I'm going to owe taxes to our government. And I was just, God blessed my business so much last year, and I've never owed the government money. So I didn't think that, oh, I should be paying quarterly taxes. It just didn't enter my mind.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how to word this correctly, but understand, please, that I feel like that I don't believe that God's going to bless me as abundantly as he did, and I'm going to end up in a position where I'm in debt this year. So I've been professing that I believe that he is going to make a way through whatever means so that I can pay this debt off this year without any hardship on my family.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to take it more than just professing that. So I was wondering, do I take the little bit of money that I have for the little credit card debt that I have and pay it off? Or do I make a quarterly payment, or do I take that and sow it into an offering for his blessing on that offering so that I'm sowing seed towards this tax debt being for me to be able to pay it off. Does it make sense?
Yeah, I think I follow you, except for the last part. You were saying, should you give it to the Lord? Was that the third option?
Yes. Do I sow an offering to a church or something?
Yeah, sure. Sure. Well, you can never outgive God, so I'm never against that idea if the Lord's leading you that way. But I also know that He wants us to honor our obligations, and I think, you know, right now the key is you owe this tax debt. The IRS will work with you, especially because this is, you know, the first time you would have had to pay a quarterly payment, and so this is very common where folks who are self-employed kind of miss that, and then they end up with this tax bill, and then they have maybe some small penalties and interest. So I would say that needs to be the priority, Felicia. Let's trust God as provider for this new year in your business, and let's pray that He continues to bless as He has. And the really neat thing is that, you know, perhaps we don't always view it this way, but taxes are symptomatic of God's provision, right? So we can, in a sense, flip the script and give and pay those taxes joyfully, not any penny more than we owe, but at least what we owe, because it's evidence of God's faithfulness in your life. And let's trust and pray that we see that again this year. I realize you think perhaps things may be slightly different, and you can, you know, as a business owner, we can often see some of the trends, and maybe that's what's causing you to say, I don't know how this year is going to work out. Perhaps it won't be as good as last year, but let's ask the Lord to bring that provision in the same way that He did last year, and then let's manage around that and be responsible in terms of handling your finances. But I think God will honor your desire to pay what you owe to the IRS and to do that in a timely fashion. If you don't have the funds available, you could contact the IRS and ask for an installment agreement request. That's IRS Form 9465. And, you know, you can ask, get an extension to pay of up to 120 days. But setting up a payment plan may allow you to kind of work that into your spending plan that just makes it a little bit easier so you don't have to deplete your liquid reserves. But I think it's totally honoring the Lord by you honoring that obligation, and I would make that your first priority. And then second, let's pray and work toward managing the business the best you can this year, and then give as the Lord leads. But I would certainly, you know, be working to pay that back, and then anticipating moving forward any quarterly payments that you need to make as the business prospers. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. So one more question, may I?
Sure.
So the little bit of money that I have, I've been off work, so I haven't been working, so I have no income currently.
Okay.
But I have a little bit of money that I was going to pay off my credit card debt to make my monthly expenses go down. Being where I'm in the position right now, discovering how much I'm going to end up owing, what is the best decision to do with there? I mean, do I go ahead and get that credit card debt out of the way?
Yeah.
And wait until
I probably would.
The government?
I probably would go ahead and knock out that credit card debt. Are you going to be able to go back to work here pretty quick?
Yes. It's just going to be a little bit slow, and, you know, it's just an off season in my business.
Right.
So it's just going to be a little bit slow on the income right now.
Sure. Yeah, I would knock out that credit card debt if you have the ability to do so, and then go ahead and get in touch with the IRS and start working on a payment plan. And, you know, maybe you look for part-time work in the meantime, or something that can bring in a little more income just to get you current as quickly as possible, and then move forward from there. Okay?
Focus on trying to make a payment plan with them prior to filing, or do I wait until I filed and have it all figured out?
Yeah, you'd want to wait until you file, because you don't actually owe the money until you file. I mean, you owe it, but they don't even know about it yet. So working on a payment plan for taxes that they don't know you owe at this point is probably, you know, it doesn't make sense. So I'd pay off that credit card debt, get that tax return filed, and then as a part of that, see if you can work on, you know, getting that installment plan set up to be able to pay that back, what you owe. And they'll They'll be willing to work with you. You'll get there, and then let's just trust the Lord for this year, Felicia. Hey, all the best to you. We appreciate you calling today. God bless you. Hey, before we head back to the phones, it's a Friday, which means our good friend Jerry Boyer stops by. Jerry is president of Boyer Research. He's a columnist at the Christian Post, and he's a good friend and stops by each week to weigh in on the markets and the economy. Good morning, Jerry.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Hey, so the CEOs of J.P. Morgan and B of A are out today calling for a mild recession. So it sounds like, I guess, everybody's pretty set on that being the base case at this point, huh?
Yeah, that seems a little late to me saying that now. But it's really odd. We think of CEOs as being people very much in the know of when it comes to the economy. In my experience, the information about what's going on in the economy takes a while to sift up to the CEO level so that they are kind, especially with big companies, so they're kind of a lagging indicators. I think you know that that's one of the reasons I like to look at what markets are saying, because they're registering information every minute, every second. When it comes to business surveys, I like business surveys of supply chain managers. I like to say, you know, people who are in the warehouse with a bunch of yellow post-it notes on the wall, you know, like they're seeing every day what's going on and whether orders are coming in or not. I think they're electronic post-it notes now, but whatever. And like the CEOs, when they gather, you know, at Davos, it takes a while for bad news to get to a CEO. People don't like to send bad news upstairs. So, yes, I agree with them. But I think the markets saw this coming really almost all of last year. And those who were paying attention, I think, already knew we were very likely heading into a recession.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So then, Jerry, the markets and the data that's perhaps more recent, any change in what you're seeing coming across your desk at this point?
Yeah, like for instance, this week there's a little bit of pulling back on that recession scenario. So last year, the overall trend, you and I know last year was like, what's the story this week, right? So it went back and forth a lot, and it went back and forth because the Fed was shifting back and forth between its two contradictory mandates. But there was a trend for the year, and the trend was, all right, inflation is real, it's undeniable, it's not transitory, and the Fed's going to have to do something, and the Fed started doing something. Yeah. Now, the Fed thinks that the way you fight inflation is to slow the economy down. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's sound economics. I don't think it's classical economics. And I don't think it's biblical economics. I think that human beings are created to grow the economy. Our job is actually, believe it or not, to fill the whole earth and subdue it. That's big. That's growth. And that doesn't cause inflation. That's a good thing. We're made for that. So I think government tends to blame what private sector actors do with growth for what they did, which is to cause inflation by debasing currency. But for a moment, it doesn't matter necessarily what's true. It matters what they think, since they're the big actor. So they think that the way you fight inflation is you slow the economy down. So they've been trying to slow the economy down. And I think that worked. I think they really did slow the economy, and I think they will slow the economy. So what's happened over the past couple of weeks is that markets are saying, you know what? They are going to slow the economy. It will be a recession. We think that they are going to kind of lose their nerve. I mean, the Fed kind of put out a statement that's sort of like, listen, you kids, if you don't calm down, we're going to turn this car around and go back. markets are starting to go up. You know, we need more unemployment. We need to slow things down. And what happened is, because yesterday's inflation data was pretty tame and today's inflation data through Michigan survey was pretty tame, markets are concluding that the Fed's going to lose its nerve and it's going to not fight inflation so much. It'll give us a recession, a mild one. It won't completely beat inflation. That's what drove markets this week.
All right. Yep. Well said. Well, I appreciate your insights, Jerry. Hey, when you stop by next week, I want to ask you to give us a preview of the corporate annual meeting opportunities that you're watching for 2023. Sound good?
I'd love that.
Awesome. We'll do that next week. God bless you, my friend. Tell the family and your team hello, and we'll see you next week.
Blessings to you as well.
All right. Jerry Boyer, our resident economist. He's a columnist at the Christian Post and president of Boyer Research. Hey, folks, thanks for being along with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Couldn't do it without my amazing team, Jim Henry, Devin Patrick, and Pat Montague, pushing all the buttons, making everything happen. Thank you for being here as well. Hope you have a great Friday, a wonderful weekend, and come back and join us on Monday. We'll see you then. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.